You know, from down there, these flowers look so huge, I thought I'd hear the voice of God saying, Debbie, where are you? You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of God. It's good to feel the presence of God. It was an awesome presence Saturday morning at prayer. And again, when I came here and I walked into the entrance out there, the atrium, thank you. The presence of God just hit me so strong, and all I could do is just walk in here with tears. It's a marvelous thing to have a sanctuary like we have here. But what's even greater is to have the presence of God in this sanctuary, so that when we come in, and people come in from off the street and visitors come in that don't have the Holy Ghost and they don't know who Jesus is, there's an instant connection right there that there's something different in this place because the presence of God is here. Hallelujah. And I thank Brother and Sister Schumacher for being the watchman. I listen to the preachers sometimes on the YouTube, and I get a lot of preaching. I like to listen to Brother Woodward and Brother Stone King and Brother Bernard. But there's none greater than the pastor of this church that preaches the Word of God and is the watchman on the wall that has walked this walk, and he set an example before us. And that example has been just like Jesus said, he changes not. From the time I've been coming here until this day, he's walked in this word right here, giving us the word of God and helping us to grow and hang on, because these last days are going to be tough days. These last days are going to come against us and we're going to wonder what just hit us. But you know what? The word of God will stand sure forever. It changes not. And it will be there as a protection that stands around us and keeps us. Jesus Christ is the rock, and we can stand upon that rock tonight and know that we are protected by the Holy Ghost that's within us and the Spirit of God that's around us. And I just love this place. I just love the presence of God, and I love you, and I thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity and the honor just to be here tonight. You don't know the honor of coming to this pulpit unless you've been here, Brother Steve Miller and those that have preached up here. This is an honor because this church has such a... God is here. God is here, and he is pleased with this church. And so to be able to step into this pulpit and bring his word is an honor. And I just thank the Lord for that tonight, to be able to do that. God has given me a message for this church. It started about 4 weeks ago. Sister Karen and I were going to come for the midwinter camp. And I thought, well, you know, with Pastor, I better have something ready, because I never know if he's going to say, would you like to preach? And so I know when God begins to deal with me. You know when God begins to talk to you about something? And I thought, oh, okay, God. And I was listening to his voice, and I was meditating upon his words. And then my mother fell. And I thought, oh, no. All right, we can't go. I have to be home to help take care of her. Well, the day that we were supposed to leave, I got deathly sick. Well, we stayed home, and then we thought, all right, we have to come. It's something in the soul. When God has given you something, you got to come. And so we said, okay, we're going to come this weekend. I think it was the day before we left, my mom fell again. Then the pipe froze the morning we were supposed to leave in the kitchen. And I thought, oh, no, what am I going to do? And Sister Karen says, you know, this is just the enemy. And I said, I know, but I want to make sure she's going to be okay. I don't want to go and leave her stranded. And so we worked and we got things taken care of, and she said, you need to go. And so here we are, and I do have a word of God. I have a word for this church. I have been listening to these preachers that I told you about, and they're all preaching in the same direction on these end times. I listened to Pastor, and I thought, oh my goodness, he just preached one of my messages the other night, and I thought, okay, God, what's going on? And then I couldn't get the podcast for, I think it was last Wednesday when you talked about faith, and it's a couple of the things you said this morning, I thought, it's a good thing, because then I would have really doubted, like, he just preached a lot of things that I wanted to say tonight that God had given me. So I'm glad I didn't get to hear it, but praise the Lord. So tonight, I would just like to say, please, this is not me speaking. I am bringing a message to this church from the Lord that he has given to me to give to you. And it may not be long. It may be just straight up into the fact, and I may just say, I'm done. I don't know. I don't know what God has and how it's going to come, but he has a message. So please stand with me and receive it from him. Lord Jesus, I just thank you, God, for this opportunity to be here tonight in your presence. I thank you, God, for what you have for this church. Lord, help me, touch me to be a vessel, God, as broken as it can be, so that you, God, in your hands can mend it and let your oil pour out, God, the way that you want it to be. In the name of Jesus, let your words be received in Jesus' name. Let the visions be received in Jesus' name, in the things that you want this church to see, the places you want this church to go, in the Holy Ghost, God, that you would just move, God, by your power. And through the name of Jesus, God, as you lift this church up, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. And while you're standing, would you please turn with me to Luke chapter 18? There's revival in the air, church. Brother Stone King, he preached a message called The Deeper Moves of God. And he said that God's number is 7. And we all know that. He said that the last day revival is going to be 7 times greater than the first revival. Can you imagine that? And that's what God said. He is calling everybody. He is calling all. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Everyone he is calling. And we are a part of that calling. We have been called. We have been blessed. And now he wants to use us to reach this end day revival and be a part of it. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always, say always,
always
to pray and not faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded him. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. Say a while. How many have you prayed and asked God for something that you haven't received yet? And you think maybe God hasn't heard you. Or you wonder, maybe I'm not walking right. Or maybe there's something in my life that I need to change for God to hear. This woman brought a request to an unjust judge, and it says right here, Jesus is giving us that parable using that example, and he tells us right away, for a while, because he knew what was coming, because Jesus is our prime example, and he knows that he can't answer everything that we ask right now. Some things are impossible right now, but in a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, meaning she didn't give up, she didn't doubt, she was going to come until she got what she wanted, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust saith, unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You may be seated. Verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not such as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote unto his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. God is looking for people who will walk in faith. God is looking for people that when God uses them, they're not going to lift themselves up and begin to look and point a finger at other people, but they're going to humble themselves before God and allow him to use them. John the Baptist, I must decrease that he might increase. And the more that we decrease, the more God will use us. Billy Cole used to say that there was a great, great revival in Ethiopia years ago. Why? Because they had such a love one for another. They would respect one for another. If somebody went up and said, I pray for you, be healed, they had such a love and a respect that I know this man is a man of God. I know this lady is used of God. I know that God will hear them. Can you imagine if we as a body of believers walked in that walk with such love, one for another? We didn't lift ourselves up and say, well, I'm a little better than that one. And we don't come out and just say it like that. We have ways of showing it. We have ways of kind of getting the message across. But if we had a pure love of God, what God wants to do among us, if there was such a great love, what he would do. There's many. God, I want to be used of you. Use me, God. Use me in the gifts. Use me to reach souls. Use me. Why? I used to say, and I've said this before here, I always prayed, God, I want to be great in you. I want to be great in you. I want to be used. And then God spoke to me one day, no, you want me to be great. You want me to be great. Oh, yeah, that's right, God. I was saying it wrong. I had the wrong idea. When we can say, God, use me so you can be lifted up, so you can be seen, so you can receive the glory. We've got to step out on that faith that God has given to us. He's given to every man a measure of faith. He's given it to us. When we come to God, when I came to God, I was so excited about God, I could not keep my mouth shut. And I know you probably think I haven't changed, you know? Which reminds me, I just read something that said that women have 30,000 more words, or have 30,000 words a day, and the guys have 15,000 words a day. And then we figured it out because the guys always have to have the woman repeat, huh? Huh? It's not because we talk more, we just have to. I don't know how long I'm going to be. If you don't say, huh, maybe I can finish early. Faith. God wants us to walk on the faith that he's given. He wants us to do something. He wants this church to get out of the norm. You know, it was beautiful this morning. This altar was so full and so powerful of the presence of God. Why isn't it right now? God's presence hasn't changed. The Word of God is alive, and it's speaking to us right now. It's speaking. There's some of us that have prayed for things, for healings, for years. There's some of us that have been so broken inside. And when you hear the preaching of the Word, you sit there and listen and wait for an altar call. Why aren't you running? Just like that song that spoke to your heart. God wants this church to be different, not to follow somebody else and do the program of that down the road. He wants each and every one of us not to be like somebody else and not to do, oh, that one went forward, I can go forward. No, if I need to get to the altar, I need to go now. I don't care if it's preaching. I don't care if it's singing. It's not going to bother Brother Schumacher to be preaching with 100 people up here. Do you know in the church, the first church with Azusa Street, they said that they would go in there and the preacher might be behind the pulpit somewhere on his knees with a bag over his head calling out on God. And people would come and go, and there would be praying at all times. They would be praying for a move of God. And maybe somebody might get a song, and somebody would stand up and sing. Or if the preacher felt something move on him or God move on him, he'd begin to preach a message. And then he'd get done preaching his message, and he'd get that bag back. And he'd put that bag back over his head and get back on his knees and call out to God. Talk about humility and sensitivity to God. There's some churches you can't go in today and have a lull. You can't wait for, okay, God, what are you going to do next? I always think, God, what are you going to do today? What are you going to do today? And then I thought about it. Why shouldn't I say, God, what are you going to do during the preaching? You know, if you have, what are you going to do during the worship? What are you going to do during the preaching? Who's going to allow themselves to be moved upon? To get out of their seat, to call upon the Lord because you have a need. Maybe maybe just during that worship time you got touched, but it wasn't enough. Maybe there's something else that's been there for years and you know it's there, and maybe the worship touched this thing in you, but not this thing. And maybe somebody's preaching the Word of God, and I know that the Word of God comes out of this place anointed. And it comes out of this place in truth. God doesn't mind when you come to Him. He's 24/7. I know we respect the man of God. We respect the pulpit. But God puts all things aside for one hungry soul, for one soul that stands in need of something. If you have a need, oh, somebody might say something. Church, we got over that at the altar, at worship. There's a liberty and a freedom in this church. Woo! To dance, to jump, to shout, to receive the Holy Ghost, to pray. There is a liberty here. God has given it, and we've received it. But have we received it during the preaching? When God is really talking to the soul. You know, we bless God in our music and in our singing. We bless Him. We lift up His name. But during the preaching, God is speaking to us. He's speaking to each one of us, our heart. There's something. There is something that we take home with us every time we hear the Word of God, every time God speaks to our heart. But sometimes, you know what? We sit there and we listen to it and we receive it. And then, yeah, maybe we come to the altar for 5 minutes. How many tarry at the altar anymore? Or are we in a hurry? Are we so culverized? Seriously, God is speaking to this church. He wants to be first in our lives. He wants to do something great in this church, and this church is different. Our God is a different God from the world. We've got to get rid of those things in the world. I've got to get rid of. You know, when I came home from Australia, I knew I was coming to a new mission field because I had to wait for God to release me. And when I knew I was coming home, I knew it was for my family. When I got home, I let a lot of things in my spiritual life go because I was so dead set. I've got to take care of my mom. I've got to drive her an hour and a half one way and drive her back. I've got to make sure. I was so set on my mission that I let some of my Bible reading go. I let some of my prayer time go. And I was dead set on the mission that God gave me. And one day I woke up and I thought, wow, Lord, it's not the same anymore. And I thought about that frog. You know that when, if you put a frog in boiling water, it'll jump out. But if you put it in the water and you turn the water up, it doesn't know when the boiling starts and you got good frog legs. Well, that's what happened. I was so busy with my family and thinking, I got to get them saved. This is my home, and I'm going to be very transparent. I probably went to church 3 times in I don't know how many months because it was winter time, and I would not allow my mom to drive those miles to go visit my dad, who was on a ventilator. And she was bound and determined to go whether I drove her or not. And like I say, I was focused. I knew I was on a mission field, and I just went that way. Church, you may be a musician in this place, and you may be so focused on playing your instrument or singing your song that the next thing you know, you're singing and you're not feeling anything. Oh, yeah, you can raise your hand and smile, and you can, you know, dance a little in the Holy Ghost. But all of a sudden, you're going to wake up and say, man, it's not the same. It's not the same. If a song becomes just words, look out. If a song becomes just another time to play a music, and you can get blessed by watching somebody else, and you're not blessed, look out. If a message can just be another message and an opportunity to stand before people, and that message doesn't stir your heart, and it doesn't move you, or you haven't lived it before you preached it, or you're not in the middle of it, is it worthy to be preached? God wants this church in a deeper place than it's ever been. But it takes all of us. It takes all of us. All of us. It takes getting out of formality. It takes getting out of the seat. It takes getting out of ourselves. It takes doing something for the work of God. You want to be healed? Come up during preaching when there's healing preached. You want to be saved? Come up when they're preaching salvation. You need something from God? Come up. God wants to do it. Did you hear that message this morning? God wants to do it. At prayer Saturday, God gave me, he spoke to me, and he said, I want to give them everything. Just like he said today, he confirmed it through Sister Schumacher. But they don't know how to get it. They're not reaching. Prayer can be an everyday, well, it's time for prayer, and we can feel the presence of God, but I did my hour. It's time to go. What about tearing for that thing that you really want? How long are you willing to wait for it? How long are you willing to stand for it? How much can you do for God? God will wait for you. He waited for you. You are here. How long did it take for you to get the Holy Ghost and come to God? It took me 16 years before I got the Holy Ghost. I was 16 when I got it. Thank you, Jesus. 2 years later, he led me to a church that had Jesus' name baptism. He will lead us step by step. If you have a need tonight, I need to get out of God's way. God wants to do something, church. He doesn't want the regular norm. And not just for tonight. Every time you come to church, God has something special. But will we get out of that norm? Will we get out of ourselves? Will we die out? Will you take care of the problem that's been bothering you for 10 years, 20 years? Get it taken care of. Start out fresh. Feel his presence. If you go halfway, God will go all the way. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. If you feel like you're where God wants you to be, then you need to be up here praying for somebody. Hallelujah. And if you're not where you need to be, you need to be somewhere praying and asking God and touching God. Hallelujah. Don't let this just be a Sunday night one-time thing. Let it be a Wednesday night. Let it be a Sunday morning. During the preaching, during the worship, during the Sunday school class, when there is a need, God wants to fill it. He wants to show himself strong on your behalf. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.